My next guest is a mindset coach, and this is about essentially the state of your mind. And we're going to talk in a moment about your life changing. And it could be you might retire and you're suddenly, what am I going to do now? You might have spent your life ordering people around, running things, and suddenly you're working for whatever reason for someone else. It may have been your own choice. People's lives, we talked last week about pilots, all the pilots who suddenly found there was no work for them and they moved into other jobs. We spoke with a fellow who plans to go back to being a pilot, but he was driving delivery trucks. And you've got to then work out, okay, or how do I deal with such a shift? And a lot of it is about your own identity. You may have some personal experience on this, so we're going to talk to a man who deals with this on a daily basis, John Novak, who is the mindset coach who joins us on the line now. John, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. It's great to be here.
Before I get into that, I just want to get your thoughts. Ben Simmons, he's a huge name. For those who don't follow basketball, and you've seen the stories about him, he was a number one draft pick, highest paid Australian ever to play in the American NBA. Talked about, you know, perhaps the greatest player we've ever produced. And things went a bit sour for him last year, and now he's at war with his own team. He seems to be sulking. He's in a really bad space. His head's not working. His head's not working, isn't it? That's the issue, isn't it?
Well, the reason why I completely concur with you about his head not working is because as when we drive and we have even a little vacation from driving, you never forget subconsciously how to drive. He's been playing basketball all his life. His body never forgets how to shoot, how to dribble, how to catch, how to move, screen. All of those things are never forgotten. When your head's not in the game, then there's a lot of circumstances that could contribute to that being the case. And he's clearly not in the game. And it's not because his body's forgotten. There's things in your mind, whether it be mental toughness, resilience, but we're all process-driven, systems-driven in elite sport and routine-driven. So something's out of whack with him, and that could be not happy with where he is. But still, I still say, John, whilst you're unhappy where you are, for your own brand, do your job, nail your role, turn up, dude.
What I don't understand watching it is why he wouldn't realise that. And we do have a presumption, don't we, that someone, we see someone who's a really good, you know, tennis player, cricketer, whatever they are. Sometimes, if I could put it this way, and you can correct me on this, sometimes, well, maybe they're not that bright. Maybe they're not that smart. Maybe they've got no self-awareness. Maybe they're not aware that their actions are crueling them long term.
Well, his brand's being besmirched now because what you introduced our segment together today was about what do you do in the future. At the moment, what he's going to be remembered by, so he's only 25 years old, correct me if I'm wrong, is that he sort of wasn't turning up and he was getting big bucks. Like, man, dude, what are you doing? So that's developing your character. That becomes your name. People won't remember that from 76. There's definitely fans will remember that. And they'll say, why wouldn't you keep your standard up and try and find an amicable way to leave there if you're not happy? Talk it through. But a lot of people don't, John. They're not equipped. And that could be intelligence, but they're not equipped to talk. But that's why they've got managers. And that's why they've got inner circles.
Yeah. Well, is it possible that someone who's earning astronomical money, money that is unheard of, most people couldn't even dream of it, you're winning lotto every few weeks, that the people around are afraid to say anything because they're all part of a gravy train?
Well, they're, it's the echo chamber effect. Everyone wants to be, you know, the nice guy. They don't want to be disliked because if you dislike, if you're saying something opposite, if you're not agreeing with them, then you're not with them. If you're with them, and there's a lot of people I work with, and I work with athletes all over the world and teams, and you just got to keep saying yes. And if you're a yes man, you're with me. If you're not a yes man or yes woman, people just don't like it.
All right, let me get to what we talked about earlier. And I think you work with Olympians, national sides. I can forgive you for working with the Seagulls because, you know, we've probably got a few of them listening to us.
John.
Yeah, anyway. But in relation to, and you've also worked with athletes who, I know James Magnussen's a good example, the missile, fastest man in the world. Now, what comes after swimming? You're a huge name in your 20s. But you've got the rest of your life ahead of you. You deal with this. And I think this is relevant for a lot of our listeners as well, whose lives suddenly change and would have changed over the last 18 months.
Well, it's, as you said, again, in your initial comment, it's about identity. I identify where I look for in a mirror, as I work with a lot of corporate people. You look in the mirror and say, I'm a CEO. Suddenly, because of COVID, you're not. So now who are you? So the different hats, and Edward de Bono did a lot of work in this. What hat are you wearing right here, right now? And if the hat was the superstar of the business, the superstar of sport, like James Magnussen was a 2-time world champion. He missed, we all know, he missed that gold medal by one one-hundredth of a second, and he got a silver medal. What are you remembered for, and where do you go, and how do you redefine yourself and create a new identity? And that's what he's doing very well.
Yeah, he's doing that. You've got others who've done that as well. And, players who – we're talking athletes now, but I'm trying to think through the examples of people. You mentioned CEOs who might have lost their jobs. There's also people who retire. I even think of people who suddenly find themselves widowed. So they've spent, decades as the partner of someone, and they go together to everywhere, and suddenly you're on your own. And so you've got to deal with a complete change in your identity. That's significant too, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, because all of us have the same amount of hours in our life. We've got 168 hours at our disposal. And if we sleep regularly 8 hours, you've got 60 hours left. You've still got 120 hours. In a relationship, you've got a huge chunk of your time in the jigsaw puzzle of your life where you devote to that relationship, where you share something. You do things together. You might be out, but you still have a little chat about this, and you watch the news, or you do things and you go, well, how are you going? When all of that how are you going is gone, then you're left with me, myself, and I. And me, myself, and I, a lot of people never get to know. And this Platonian concept of know thyself is the greatest self is what I spend a lot of time with, high-end executives going, so now, what rocks your boat? What are you interested in? What are the kinds of things that you're passionate about now, given all the life experiences that you've had? If you connect all the dots and all the things that make you feel good in yourself, happy, excited, motivated, passionate, joyful, in awe of something, what would they be? And then we would explore that, and then they'd start putting some structure around that, as they did in their workplace. But now when they're not in that workplace, they need to go back to the processes, the systems and the routines and the standard operating procedure that they lived by, that they abided by, and that define them as a human being.
But you talk about the procedures. So if they've been used to running things,
yes,
suddenly they're not running things, and they've decided, I'm just going to live a comfortable life. And so you might be a member of a golf club, but you're not on the committee.
Yep.
You just follow the rules and you go to the AGM and you might vote.
You do your thing.
And do your thing, but you're not. So if you see a problem, you don't immediately think, oh, I'm going to go and talk to the ground staff and get that fixed. I use golf as an example. There's plenty of others. Do people have trouble adapting to being, if I could use an old cliched phrase, if we can still use it these days, to being an Indian as opposed to a chief?
Yeah. Well, like, I totally get that. It's good that you use golf because, I've been working in the golf space for 21 years and at so many different golf clubs in Sydney here and with clients and businesses I work with in golf clubs. It's fascinating that the golf world is really like a wonderful microcosm of life at large, that we do something, we swing a club for a second and the rest of the time we're communicating. Golf is a good example of performing at something well, and there's something I'll talk about in 1 second, and still communicating and still connecting. So the connection hasn't changed. People aren't in high-end sport who are playing golf are still enjoying the collaboration and the interconnection. But the big thing that they miss, and that is the doing something with authority, commanding space and commanding time. The substitute, John, is working on yourself in those later years, on the betterment of self. So the number one thing I work with people who start moving into those later years is nail your own well-being. How can I learn a little more about the food I'm eating, the exercise I'm doing, the stress management that I'm dealing with, getting a little more order and structure with the little things that interest me and intrigue me in my life?
In your own life. Yeah, that's what you do. Okay.
Or do something of service. Now you finally got the time, you've got the wherewithal, your experience. Why not offer your services pro bono to help others? And you don't need the money per se.
And there's plenty of chances to do that as well. All right, look, it's most interesting because I think there's a lot of people who would find themselves in that situation and would be able to identify with younger athletes all through life. Life changes and you've suddenly got to deal with it. You've given us some very interesting thoughts on that. Yep. I want to pick your brain with two other things quickly. You work with elite athletes. So we know there are athletes that are instinctive, like your Jonathan Thurston's. You just tell them, go out and this is what you do. But there are other athletes that have got the physical capabilities and maybe they've got a good mind as well. So is it then a matter of the mind to take, say, a rugby league centre and to train that centre to know when to move and when to move left or right or deal with something as opposed to, is that a mind thing or a physical thing?
So you're talking on the field. Yeah. We're actually talking their job.
Yeah.
So that's a tactical, strategic, and technical issue. So the tactical, strategic, and technical is knowing exactly what to do and when to do it and how to do it. So there's we goal set that. So let's take Ruben Garrick, for example. I work with all of those guys at Manly very closely, and there's a specific thing to nail that kick. And there's a specific flow energy required. Say, in your mind, you need to do something. In your body, you need to present something. In your emotional space, and belief, trust, and backing yourself. So you can retrace all of that and create a paradigm or a way that simply triggers the right thought, the right emotion, and simply in your body, you've got to be tall and you've got to look like you've already done it. And you project that.
Yeah.
So you can train all those things. So that's exactly what I do, is create those moments for them so that the athlete, say, for example, I've worked with Sean Kenny Dow in 209. He's a good friend till today. The rocks and diamonds guy, okay?
Yeah.
He became much better at letting the bad moments go. It was simply about letting the bad moments go and not staying in the malaise of thinking, which is gone. Get back to the now, get back to the simple words and the thoughts and the emotions, and before you know it, you reproduce the thing that your body never forgets.
Yeah, that's right. So shifting in defence and sliding in defence and trusting your the other players can be a thing of that you can train the mind to do.
Oh, yeah. So that again, what you're talking about is understanding the wherewithal of the game.
Yeah.
Whereas Marco Mealy, for example, that we all know, he just wanted to hit that line hard and he wanted to make it simple. If someone's coming at him, he will do his job. So it's simpler. But when you start talking about the halves and the edges and there's more scope to do the things you're talking about, when do I do it, or a fullback like Turbo, there's learning the game and keeping continuing with a growth mindset to educate yourself about the game. So I'm always saying, keep watching the best in the game, emulate the best in the game, grow, see what they're doing, see what you're doing, develop a bridge and see how you can recreate that. So it's a work in progress, John.
I guess what I was trying to get, there are players who don't have the natural ability of a Turbo, say, and therefore their mind's really important in terms of doing the right things. Whereas what about someone like you confronting a Turbo and looking at him and going, well, I can't really tell you much, because he does it all, doesn't he?
Well, he does do it all, but he's still, out of all the team, probably the most inquisitive next to all the great players that I've ever worked with over the last 11 years in the NRL are the most inquisitive, open, curious.
There you go.
They see the wonder in growth, like a Tom Brady who continues to evolve but is different physiologically but mentally top of the game.
Keeps trying to improve. All right, can I have a final one if I can? Who's a slightly older person, maybe they've got mediocre ability. Can you train them mind-wise that when they tell themselves, watch the club hit the ball, just watch the club hit the ball before you come up, can you train that person to do it? Because they have a lot of trouble with it.
Yes. So that, when you can be very specific about what the challenge is, then you can put a specific model, paradigm, and system into play for that very thing. So our mind is trained very much like the body through repetition. Focus, ball, focus, ball, focus, ball, focus, ball. And then training the mind you know, I'll get athletes in the sport in golf, and there'll be some of them will be hackers, but they don't want to have an awful experience.
Yeah.
So they want to find the joy of it. So the focus is have fun, lower your expectations, and enjoy your company. Yeah. After COVID.
I mean, in this case, we're talking very low expectations and some pretty ordinary material that you're working with, but you think it is possible, do you?
Well, I don't think it's possible. I know it's possible because I've worked with dozens of people who have improved their handicap tremendously, simply taking the pressure off themselves and going out there, finding the joy and the excitement and encouraging themselves instead of discouraging themselves and wondering why they feel bad, because you're responsible.
All right. Okay. I might put Whistle a Happy Tune in my ears from The King and I next time and see how we go. All right.
Enjoy.
Hey, John, that's great. Very interesting tonight. We'll forgive the Manly thing, although I know I've got a lot of Manly Seagull fan listeners who'll love to have heard all of that. Your website is johnnovaksport.com, correct?
Yep. Sure is.
And people can find lots of information there. And you've also done some work, Satori Sports as well, S-A-T-O-R-I Sports.
Yeah, Satori. Yeah, Satori Sports, about helping struggling athletes on their way up. It's not about the Ben Simmons. They don't need any help. They just need to stay focused.
I'd love to talk to you again if we can. I'd love that.
Can't wait.
And I'll report on the that person in relation to their golf, all right?
Okay. John, I'm a bit of a fan, mate. So I've listened to you hundreds of times and dozens of times. So it feels really nice to be
in. Oh, nice to have you on. Yeah, anyway, well, we'll go and play golf one day and give you a good laugh, all right?
That would be good. I'm just a hacker too. I just have fun.